The Colorado Catholic Herald is now on Twitter. The Colorado Catholic Herald, your primary source of news and events from around the diocese, is now on the social media platform of Twitter. Get advance notice of upcoming headlines, breaking news, and special event coverage. Our handle is the @ CCHERALD. That's @CCHerald. So join us on Twitter.
Welcome to Bishop Sheridan Presents on the Catholic Radio Network. Bishop Sheridan Presents is a weekly roundtable discussion of events and issues facing the church and culture today. Bishop Sheridan Presents is a production of the Diocese of Colorado Springs and the Catholic Radio Network. And now, here's your host, Bishop Michael Sheridan of the Diocese of Colorado Springs.
Hello, friends. This is Bishop Michael Sheridan. Welcome to our program. Our program today is in celebration of Catholic Schools Week. This is a national celebration in which Catholics throughout the country pay special attention to the great work that Catholic schools do for our church and for our local communities. And I'm very happy to welcome sort of one of our own today, Holly Goodwin. Holly is the superintendent of schools for our Diocese of Colorado Springs. And I welcome you from down the hall, Holly.
Thank you, Bishop. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, great. And just as a kind of an introduction, I think there are many people who will be listening to this program who know you, have met you, or at least heard of you. But it would be good just to spend a few minutes bringing our listeners up to date on your background in Catholic education.
Okay. Well, I want to start out by saying, first, I'm a product of Catholic education.
As am I.
Okay, wonderful. As are many people that I've met in the diocese. I attended a Catholic elementary school, St. Patrick's, in Southeast Kansas for 9 years. And then I went to the public high school. We didn't have a Catholic high school in the area. After we were married, my husband and I moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma. We were both in education at that time, and I began my education career in public schools. And so I was working in public schools. I had moved from teaching at that time into administration, and it was time for our children to start Catholic schools. And so we enrolled our child in the local parish school. And shortly after that happened, I think it was the second or third year, Sister Marietta was going to retire, and she was the last of the religious of the founding order in the school. And so they were looking for a principal to come to the school. And at that time, you know, I was well on my way to a career in public education, and she kept saying, "No, Holly, I think God's calling you to serve in Catholic schools." Well, as a parent in a Catholic school, you're very active. So we were serving on councils, homeroom parents, school advisory council, etc. And she kept saying, "Just take some time and discern." Well, in my mind, I was discerning on all the reasons for, like, finances. You know, we had two kids enrolled in Catholic school at that time, and tuition, etc. And leaving public school to go to Catholic schools would be a significant cut in pay, etc. But she just kept encouraging me, "Put all those things out of your mind. I'm not asking you about those things. Just, is God calling you to serve in Catholic school?" She was pretty persistent, and I guess the rest is history, because I've spent the next 30-some years in Catholic schools.
So it really is a kind of a vocation. That's what Sister Marietta was her name?
Sister Marietta, yes.
Sister Marietta, that she put it in terms of God's call.
Absolutely. Yeah. And at that time, our parish was having a mission, and we attended that. And at the end, we went up to talk to people, and it was just, "Is there anything on your heart that you would like to pray about or pray with, you know, together?" And so I just said to this person, "Well, you know, Sister and Father are saying that it's, you know, I should be serving in a Catholic school and using my gifts in the Catholic school arena." And so we prayed together, and from that moment on, I knew I was called and to be there, and the blessings that I have received have far outweighed any monetary sacrifice our family would have made it, you know, during the years that our kids were in Catholic schools. But it truly has been a gift. I have learned so much from the children and the parents that God's allowed me to serve, and with the teachers, wonderful Catholic school teachers, dedicated people, and I've grown as a Catholic, grown in my faith, and I can honestly say, And not too many of my friends who stayed in public education can, by the way. I am as excited about Catholic schools and Catholic education and energized to spend time in our Catholic schools as the day I started. So
that's great. You may not want to talk about this, but I do.
Okay.
You've done some remarkable things as a Catholic school administrator, haven't you? I mean, to turn some schools around, or at least one school.
Oh, you know, I don't think you can say one person does that. I mean, if you understand that Catholic schools are truly a community, then I was blessed to be placed in a community, surrounded by people with the gifts. But I think that can happen in any school, and I think the potential is there for every school. But I've been in schools where every school that I've been in, we've at least doubled the enrollment. We've received some awards. We were a Blue Ribbon school at my first school, where Sister Marietta asked me to come, where my children attended, et cetera, which was a wonderful experience. It brought the community together. We worked really hard. But the kids, just the families, the experience, everything. We grew the school. We built 6 new classrooms, built a new playground, all those kinds of things.
Was this a declining?
This school was just probably pretty stable.
Yeah.
But the day after I received the word from the federal government that we were selected as a Blue Ribbon school, my bishop called me and asked me if I would consider leaving that school and going to the Center City School.
That's what you get for doing good work.
You know, that's what I said. I said, Bishop, you don't understand. That was a good thing that happened. But anyway, so I, again, prayed like Sister Marietta taught me and knew I was supposed to go. Didn't want to really go, but I knew I was supposed to. And so I went to Holy Family Cathedral School, which at that time was a Center City school, about 80% African-American, 80% non-Catholic, declining enrollment with some significant the challenges. Again, though, what a beautiful, wonderful community, wonderful kids, hard work, lots of challenges. But again, we over doubled the enrollment there. We got the school in the black, and lots of baptisms and just a wonderful, beautiful community. I think the gift of working in Catholic schools and working with parents and families is, to this day, I still hear from those kids. I hear from those kids when they get married. I hear from those kids when they graduate from college. We had some kids that the Center City School ended up being a beautiful, culturally diverse community. We had like 30% Hispanic, 30% African-American, 30% Caucasian, Native American, et cetera. Some of those kids, especially some of our Hispanic kids, this was first generation. And you know, I'm hearing from them now as they're graduating from college. It's just wonderful. It's exciting, and it's what our schools are about. Those kids learn to believe in themselves, to have hope, and all that hope was in our faith and knowing that they were called to do something. And they did it. They worked hard, and they did it. So I've been blessed.
Well, very often as a teacher, I guess as a priest also, you don't really see the effects that you've had on people. But when you do, when those kinds of things happen where those, I remember that too. Some of the kids who were in elementary school when I was ordained 40 years ago, uh-huh, and are now grandparents themselves, they still keep in touch. They invite me to their reunions and so on. It really is a great...
A gift.
It is.
It's a gift.
It is. Now, Holly, just before you came to us, mm-hmm, here in Colorado Springs, you worked in Wichita. And Wichita is a diocese that is really known across the country as being a diocese, first of all, very dedicated to Catholic schools, but just somewhat unique in all that. Why don't you tell our listeners a bit about what goes on with Catholic schools in the Diocese of Wichita?
Sure. Well, I think most people know Wichita as the Stewardship Diocese. And if you're in Wichita and you say the Stewardship Diocese and you talk about schools, they say, no, stewardship is not a way to fund schools. It is a way to live, a conversion of heart. And the fact that the Catholic schools benefit from the conversion of the hearts of the Catholic people who are committed to building the church by giving back to the church all the gifts they've been blessed with from our Lord, then it is amazing things that I got to experience. Now, I will tell you, I came to Wichita, my husband and I, right after our kids had just all graduated from Catholic schools. And so as an educator, I'm thinking, okay, Now it's my turn. I'm going to start putting some money away for retirement, and I'm going to do that. And so we met with this small group of people, and probably one of the first schools I was involved with was the last school that had not converted to stewardship approach for the funding of their school. And the school was about to close. It was really in trouble, and the enrollment was down, et cetera. And I think that there was an order of priests, and they were leaving the diocese, so the diocese was going to start sending diocesan priests, which meant they would be converting to stewardship. And I saw in those people, and it was in an older neighborhood, mostly, I would say, a lot of the people were on fixed incomes, but I have never seen a group of people so determined and fought for that Catholic school, and they were absolutely, like, adamant that if the diocese came in, that that school would stay open, that they would find a way, that they were all committed. And so we had our stewardship groups, and I can remember the first person I talked to, he was probably 70-something, and the first words out of his mouth was, "Welcome to Wichita. In Wichita, we all support our Catholic schools." And I said, "Well, that's wonderful, because I work in Catholic schools, and I believe in that." And he said, "But we do it with stewardship. So we all commit 9 to 10% of our income."
I was going to ask you, that's what stewardship, but at least stewardship of treasure.
Stewardship, yes, but, it was so much more. But I just was like, "Excuse me, you said how much?" And he said, "That's our goal."
So that's tithing. I mean, in the classical sense, that's tithing. 10% of your income went to the church?
Went back to the church, yes. And it wasn't just for schools. It was to do the work of the church and support all the institutions and the gifts of the parish. And one of those is an education. So in doing that, then kids can attend, kids from kindergarten through high school can attend Catholic schools free of tuition, as long as your parents are active contributing and you are an active contributing member of the parish. The exciting part about it is, I mean, when they say your family, they mean from 2 to 100. And those little kids have roles and responsibilities. All the school kids come back very active in their parish. They all, you know, serve, they read, they greet, they're ushers, active in the different organizations that they have.
And I know that that's a very big thing in your mind, as one of the outcomes of Catholic school education, that those kids who are in a Catholic school, and while they're in a Catholic school, become real participants, active participants in their parishes. So it's not just an exercise in academics.
Absolutely not.
Catholic schools turn them into active practicing Catholics in their parish.
Absolutely. And, you know, with the number of Catholic schools that we have here, like, for example, Corpus Christi, they serve kids from 15 different parishes, and the majority of the kids at Corpus Christi do not come from the Corpus Christi parish. It is critical that those kids learn the faith, know the faith, but live it passionately in their parishes. We need for them to be good stewards in their own parishes. I really believe strong parishes, strong schools, strong church, and we need to create the next generation of kids that will be the strong leaders in those parishes, and start that now by giving them roles, responsibilities, and challenging them to live it passionately right now.
I know our program today really isn't about stewardship, but I know for you, especially working in Wichita as you did, stewardship is just a part of the way you think about being a Catholic, a part of the way you think about Catholic schools. And, you know, again, as I look back over my years as a priest, I think stewardship is a tough idea to get across. It's sometimes, you know, simply caricaturized as, oh, it's a new language for asking for more money. Well, we hope one of the outcomes of stewardship is that people will return greater portions of their gifts to God. But anyway, you know, we're in a moment, we don't want to start it now, because in just a moment we're going to take our first break. But I'd like you to think about that. I think our listeners need to hear a little bit and how you were drawn into that steward, because you've told me that story, how you were drawn into that kind of stewardship mentality. And before you knew it, I think. you were practicing stewardship. And guess what? You're still alive to talk about it, and it didn't mean that something awful happened to you. So anyway, after our break, Holly, let's just talk a little bit more about stewardship, and then we'll talk some more also about our Catholic school. So we'll be back in just a moment.
ColoradoCatholicHerald.com is the website of the award-winning Colorado Catholic Herald newspaper. For the latest Catholic news, both at home and around the world, log on to ColoradoCatholicHerald.com. The Colorado Catholic Herald, bringing the Catholic world to you.
We're back now with Holly Goodwin, who is the superintendent of schools here in the Diocese of Colorado Springs, and this is our Catholic Schools Week program, in which we're going to, first of all, give thanks and praise to God for our Catholic schools, but also talk a little bit about the future of Catholic schools, too, what Holly is trying to do here in this diocese to help our Catholic schools, to grow them, to sustain them, all of that. But just before the break, Holly, we were talking a little bit about stewardship and what an important part that plays in your understanding of what a Catholic school student is all about, how we should be molding Catholic school students. But it's tough, I find it. And our pastors say the same thing. How did you really get drawn into living a life of stewardship in the Diocese of Wichita?
I would say drawn in is a perfect way to say that. I initially did all the things that I think every person does. When you start thinking of stewardship, first I thought of money, and I thought, okay, they're going to try and figure out a way to get more money for me, and I've already got priorities, and I'm teaching, I'm working in the church, I'm getting less pay, surely that's my 10%, etc. And then we had a stewardship group, and it was a small group of people, and we met on a regular basis. And, you know, these people had been there longer than I and more experience, and certainly I would say had more of a commitment because they were on a fixed income, okay, and I'm still working. So they started talking about their stories and their conversion stories, and I'd say, yes, but, and they would give me answers. And so my pastor came to not, you know, all the meetings, but came to this one, and he just said, Holly, well, you know the job that you're talking about that you have? Someone else could have that job. Someone else could have been chosen. For some reason, God chose to give you the gift of employment in the diocese. What are you giving back? That's what you need to ask yourself. And whatever you're giving back in your time, in your talent, and in your treasure, increase it. I don't want to know what you're giving now. I don't know what you've given in the past. Increase it by 1% next year and see if all those goals that you have set for yourself, your family, etc., will change, be hurt, or harmed. So my husband and I, you know, we went home, we prayed, and we said, okay, let's give it a shot. And he was right. Okay, increasing by 1%, we didn't miss anything. We didn't, you know, we really didn't. And so I continued to meet with people. We continued to talk and start to learn that stewardship is so much more than money, and it's a way you look at life. It's truly stopping to say, you know, Father was right. Everything I have could have been given to someone else, and God chose to give it to me or our family for whatever reason. And we need to acknowledge that, and we need to give back. And so the second year, Father came back to the meeting, and he said, so how did it go? And I said, you know, you were right. We were able to do that, da-da-da, and we talked about it. And then he said, okay, so increase it 1% next year. And I went, what? And so, again, we did the same thing, and he was right. And then the third year came, and somewhere between that third year, second and third year, I began to realize the influence of the world on the priorities that I was setting. And, you know, we hear about that all the time. You know you're in a secular society. You know that the American individualism is a wonderful thing, but it also can make you put certainly yourself before the common good at times when it should be reversed, etc. And you just begin to change the way you look at things, the priorities, and you truly begin to appreciate everything that we have, and also the importance of us coming together. I mean, I understood the importance of community, certainly from being within a Catholic school and seeing what everybody working together could accomplish as opposed to just one person out there trying to lead a parade. But it's the same for our church. You know, our church, God didn't send us out one-on-one and go out and say, you figure out what needs to be done. He sent us out two by two and go to the other people and go form community. And within that community, He places the gifts we need to accomplish the goals that He has for us and for our church. And we need to be about that. We need to think about the goals of the church and the works that we need to do. And stewardship is saying, I understand you've given me gifts, and I understand that you place me in communities, schools, diocese, Colorado Springs. Surround me with people that have the gifts to make what you want our church to be here on earth come to life if we just do that. And so that's stewardship.
Stewardship is all about faith. It's about faith and confidence in what God has told us, what Jesus tells us in the gospel. I mean, this is very challenging. Do we believe what He said or not? Do we really believe that we are more important than birds and flowers? God takes care of the birds and the flowers. He's going to take care of us. Now, stewardship is not an invitation, to have little or no responsibility for things, but it's a way of saying, if I give to God, or when I give to God, God takes care of me. And this is the testimony I found from everybody who really has sort of taken that stewardship leap. Just as you said, they're not lacking anything. Their lives are not more miserable. They're joyful.
Exactly.
They are happier. They have a greater sense of their relationship with God and of belonging to the church. And so anyway.
And so that's one of the goals. So when I think of Catholic schools, what I believe is creating that community where kids can use their gifts and become good stewards and understand that. And, you know, when I came, I said, and I got this from the priests, I was blessed to see the benefits. And I'm not just talking about benefits in Catholic schools. Yes, to be able to send your child to a Catholic school free, K through 12, was wonderful because I had just put three kids through Catholic schools for well over $200,000 in the Diocese of Tulsa, okay? But it's not just tuition. What it is, I mean, when you look at, they have 50 young men in the seminary, 50, okay? 37 of those young men came out of Catholic schools. Those young men received a Catholic education from the time they were 5 through seminary. Do you think they don't come back to the diocese with a servant heart, with excitement? And the benefit of that is the young people get to see priests that are alive and passionate with their faith. We were talking about this earlier, but you can go to a Catholic school, high school game in Wichita, Kansas, and the sidelines are lined with the priests and the religious running up and down the field. These kids get to experience a personal relationship with priests and religious who are on fire with their faith and offer a vocation and a life that is exciting, fulfilling, and it just perpetuates itself. You talk to a class, the class of 2011 or 2012, and these young people are convinced that there is at least one priest and one religious in their class. And they have a role. They have to first keep their own heart open to say, am I the one God's calling? And if I am, you know, let me be willing to say yes, let me discern, let me live the life. And if I'm not, I'm supposed to be, as all the kids in this class, create an environment that will support the discernment of the one that's being called. And remarkably so, I mean, one of the Catholic high schools there, I think, has an enrollment of 1,200 kids, and they have 30 some priests. I mean, it is amazing. So, when Catholics unite, when they believe what Jesus taught us and told us and came on earth, and when they get joyful and realize all the gifts we have, and if we unite and use those gifts, I'm telling you, amazing things happen. And I've seen it here. I mean, you know, but we need to, in the Catholic schools, our kids need to, we say Catholic to the core and Catholic out loud. We need to ignite that passion. And so that's what we're about.
I'm visiting with Holly Goodwood, who is superintendent of schools in the Diocese of Colorado Springs. And Holly, I'm hoping that there are some parents out there listening to this program today with school-age children who may, in fact, be thinking about sending them to a Catholic school. You've been here with us now, what, a year and a half,
mm-hmm.
and done great things. Tell our listeners a bit about Catholic schools in this diocese, maybe what you found, and your vision for the growth of Catholic schools here.
Okay. Well, I found wonderful Catholic leaders and Catholic educators who are dedicated, as you find in any Catholic schools, or they would not continue. Parents who are wonderful, who understand the vision and are willing to support all the efforts, volunteer, and kids who want to learn, and kids who get excited about their faith when they have an opportunity to learn. But like any school, I think you always have to strive to become better. And in our case, that means truly Catholic, more Catholic, and then quality in academics. I said in before, in a Catholic school, in any school, you can't afford just to remain the same because the times are different, the kids are different, the learning, etc. But in a Catholic school, when our mission is to pass the faith and we're in a fight for the souls for our kids in a society that is very secular and telling them faith is not important, we cannot stop and stay the same. We have got to truly evaluate how Catholic are we and can we be better? Are we engaging every means possible as far as forming these kids into disciples of Christ? And academically, are they going to be prepared? Because their mission is to go out and be articulate, evangelize, and change our culture by using the gospel message.
Holly, let me just stop you there for a second. You've emphasized the fact that what Catholic schools are about first is forming young people in the faith, passing on the faith, making them good Catholics, good Catholic adults eventually, who will then in turn pass on the faith to their children, to the next generation, and to provide a quality education, a first-class education in all subjects. Now, I wanted to emphasize that because sometimes I talk to people who have convinced themselves that you can't do both. Either you're a very good school academically, or you're a kind of little seminary that passes on the faith, but don't expect great things academically. And that's never been what Catholic schools are about.
Absolutely not, and it can't be. Because if you truly believe that we're forming these children into disciples of Christ, it's not about just pouring knowledge into them, the academic emphasis. It's about pulling the gifts out. So as we form these kids, I mean, if their gift may be, you know, academics and intellectual, their gift, I mean, all gifts are equally important and given to God in different proportions for a reason. I love that because when I realized that, it was like, that's what makes us come to community. You have your gifts, I have my gifts, we all have our gifts, and when I need help, it's the gift of another person. And that's why I think we form the community. And when we feel comfortable enough to share our gifts, then we accomplish what God has through each of the persons. So I think you can do both, and you have to do both. So when our kids, it's how you challenge kids. Sometimes you open the door in a classroom in a Catholic school, and it looks very similar to what's going on in a public school. But kids understanding why they're learning, what is their mission, what is their purpose. First of all, that if it's easy, it is a gift from God, and He has a purpose for it being easy. If it's tough, it's also God has a plan. We all know we're supposed to take up our cross and follow God, okay? How we do that and how we fit and the work and determination, et cetera, that we learn, all will be used in honor and glory for God. So you can do both, and you have to do both.
I'm visiting with Holly Goodwin, who is the superintendent of schools in Colorado Springs. And Holly, after we take our next break, just in case there are any listeners, especially any parents who are concerned, who have any doubt about the outcome of our Catholic schools, how our graduates perform, what they go on to do, I'd like you to talk a little bit about that when we return.
Sure. Thank you.
Hi, this is Bill Howard, editor of the Colorado Catholic Herald. Let the Catholic community know what's happening at your parish. Email information with a point of contact for upcoming events for a free listing in the diocesan calendar in the Colorado Catholic Herald. send it to us at least 1 month ahead of the event to marie@coloradocatholicherald.com. That's Marie, M-A-R-I-E, at coloradocatholicherald.com. And now we return to a very special episode of Bishop Sheridan Presents.
Welcome back. My guest today is Holly Goodwin, Superintendent of Schools for Colorado Springs. And Holly, again, before the break, we were talking about Catholic schools being quality schools in all areas of academics and achievement, as well as being schools that are completely immersed in gospel values and in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But don't we have proof? Don't we have evidence that our Catholic school graduates really do go on to great things?
Yes, great things, both spiritual and faith-based, and great things academically and within the community. Research that's done, there's a team of researchers that have done kind of surveys for American Catholics that started in 1987, and they've done the fifth group now. And one of the researchers is Mary Gutierrez, and she works for CARA. And her portion of the research was, do Catholic schools make a difference? And she answered that question by saying, absolutely, surveying kids, looking at data, looking at result. Catholic school kids who attend Catholic schools are different in four significant areas. One, they're more likely to remain faithful to attending weekly Mass, stronger prayer life, consider vocations. They are four times more likely to remain Catholic. They are also four times more likely to register in a parish and support financially and spiritually that parish for the remainder of their adult life. For those who read sociology and what's going on with the millennials, we're in trouble. We have a whole generation of millennials, and not just Catholics, but 40% of young millennials ages 18 to 39 right now who say, I am Catholic, I would never be anything other than Catholic, are choosing not to register in a parish. In other words, they think they can be Catholic without a commitment to the institutional church. And so while Catholic schools are getting a lot of headlines right now, also Catholic parishes need to understand what that means for our parish, our church, you know, two generations from now if we continue down that path.
When you say they're not registering in a parish, is that mean they're not practicing their faith, or they're just,
you know, no,
doing it in a more anonymous way?
In a more anonymous way and not consistently. Okay, I mean, if you look at church attendance, you know, the pre-Vatican II Catholics, which, you know, they say are the glue of the church, but they're now only 10% of our Catholics, they attended Mass at a rate of 70%. 70% of that generation attended Catholic schools. We go down to the millennials now, and there's four generations that sit in our pews. There's the pre-Vatican II Catholics, 10%. Vatican II Catholics, those are my age that started, you know, pre-Vatican and then came to age after Vatican II, then post-Vatican II, and then the youngest generation. And the youngest generation, church attendance, you know, basic beliefs, etc., like church attendance, 30% think it's absolutely critical that they attend Mass on a weekly basis. So
only 30.
Only 30. That's a scary. That's scary. But those who attend Catholic schools, we're seeing that they have a stronger commitment to the parish lifelong, and they enroll, they register, they support. So for our church, Catholic schools is making a difference. There was a recent study done on the ACRE test, which is a test given to kids in Catholic school, kids in religious ed programs, et cetera. And it was entitled, What Our Kids Know About Their Faith. And they have different questions that they ask, relationships with Christ, et cetera. But in the categories of what our kids actually know about the faith, those who attend Catholic schools came in first. Non-Catholics who attend Catholic schools came in second, and kids with religious education in just the one time, you know, a week program. And that's not to say anything bad about that. It's just that our faith is beautiful, it's rich, but it is It's large. Jesus gave us many gifts and teachings and treasures, and you cannot learn that in 1 hour a week. And given our society where often kids are living with one parent one weekend and another parent another weekend, they don't even get the benefit of once a week. It's sometimes once every other week or, you know, once a month.
That is so remarkable that non-Catholic students in Catholic schools
scored higher.
Know more about the Catholic faith than Catholics who do not go to attend a Catholic school. That says a lot about what goes on in our Catholic schools.
Well, religion is taught daily, and it's very important for our kids to experience the traditions of our faith, and so that's a very important part of what we do. Academically, our kids do well. We always score well on nationally normed tests. I would say that there's been a lot of research, little controversy, and they went back and redid some of the tests, but again, our kids come out of Catholic schools, strong academics, and more importantly, I think, is that 97% of the kids who spend 8 or more years in a Catholic school graduate and go on to attend college. Now, some of our really quality public schools have a high percentage of kids that go on, but the second statistic I think that's really important is 94% of those who go on graduate from the second post-secondary education program. That statistic drops into the 60s and 70s when you look nationwide publicly. So our kids, one, are ready, and two, have learned, again, that they are learning for a purpose, and that purpose is bigger than they are, and it's that God has a purpose for the gifts that He planted in them. And so you don't give up, because God's counting on you, and our world needs the gifts that God's placed inside of you. So that's a motivating factor, and that continues to motivate our kids to attend classes. I think also, if you think, they've done all kinds of studies, sociological studies, and I think one was from Harvard. Kids from Catholic schools, and this was again surveying college-age kids, were more likely to engage in civic projects, kids who'd come out of Catholic schools, more likely to get involved in social justice issues, more likely to vote as adults. They followed those kids. So we produce not only good family members, good parishioners, but good leaders, good community leaders.
Good citizens.
Yeah, good citizens. But good citizens of this world with their eyes on the world
exactly.
to come. So it doesn't stop with just being a good leader. It's going beyond that.
This is our Catholic Schools Week program. What are we celebrating this year in Catholic Schools Week, Holly?
We celebrate what we celebrate every year, and that's who we are and the gifts that we've been given and the gifts that we can become. I will tell you, Catholic Schools Week is a celebration, and it's sponsored by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops and NCEA. And it's kind of
the National Catholic Education Association.
Right, and it's to promote our Catholic schools so that all realize the treasure that our Catholic schools are and the gift to our nation. This year's theme is Catholic Schools, Faith, Academic, and Service. And faith, academics, and service are really what sets us apart from other educational institutions. It's not just about one. And really, in a Catholic school, you can't have one without the other. They're all tied together. And so we have all kinds of wonderful celebrations going on every year. There's usually a theme, and we want to start out by thanking those that make Catholic education possible. So there's a day where we thank our parishioners, our pastors, and that usually includes a mass, prayer services, vocation talks. We're doing prayer change this year, lots of service projects. So we thank our parents because they work very hard. They volunteer, they sacrifice. And so there are special ways that we thank them, the students themselves. So we have Hall of Fame, we have awards assemblies, we have student talent shows. We also thank the community, and every school will have a community service project. I mean, we're making blankets for the homeless. We're collecting food. We're preparing things for the hospitals, for the pediatric wards, just all kinds of hospitals. We're cleaning parks, things that they've identified that need to be done in the community. Service is a huge part because, again, you know, that builds into stewardship. Our gifts are given to us, and we are to give back with a joyful heart. And so that leads to service.
What kind of a future for Catholic schools do you see here in our diocese?
I'm excited. You know, I think right now anything that is good requires hard work, vision, and the gifts of all those that God's placed in this diocese. And I think it will take every Catholic to understand the importance. I've been gifted to be able to talk to a lot of groups, and I walk into a room, and after I talk, a lot of people come up and want, oh, I went to Catholic education, and I got a really good education, and, you know, da-da-da. And then I'll lead with the question, well, you know, are your kids in Catholic schools? Well, you know, we have a good charter school, or we don't have a Catholic school close enough. You know, close enough to me is within 20, 30, 40 miles, then you can drive.
And we have students in our Catholic schools, don't we, who do live that far away.
We absolutely do.
And they drive.
And that's a matter of priority, okay? And that's a matter of understanding you can get a good Catholic, I mean, you can get a good education in a charter school, and you can get a sense of belonging in a charter school, because charter schools, when they first started, when they introduced some of the officials that started it, they said, we're going to take the best things of Catholic schools. And that was intentional. So the small, the family, etc. But you've got to understand that in any school setting, a child is learning. It's the next institution besides the family that socializes our children. And so in that environment, they're going to learn, they're going to succeed, but they're going to make mistakes and they're going to fail. Okay, that's just part of that school experience. And it's how and who reflects with them on their successes and their failures. So let's say we've got a kid that in the school setting breezes through. God's gifted that child with high academics, intellectual abilities, etc., and he gets everything, okay? If someone doesn't say to that child, that's a gift from God. You know, that's not just for you to say, I'm great, I'm cool, I'm the best, I've got it all some of the kind of emotions and things that we see on TV from some people. And to say, what do you think God's got planned for you? You know, do you understand that is a gift to be used for greatness? And God gave that to you. He didn't give it to anybody else. He gave it to you. So what do you think he's got planned? Or a kid who fails at something. Or, you know, school's tough. School's a struggle. And you can say to that kid, God's got plans for you to learn perseverance. He will place you. You know, you've got other gifts, first of all. We're all gifted in different ways, and every gift counts, okay? And sometimes the kids don't hear that, but every gift is important. Every gift is needed, and every gift should be brought to community, okay? And so it's who reflects with the kids on their successes and failures, what you say, what you challenge them to believe, and drawing it all back to Christ as the gift in the center, and use those gifts here on earth to change our culture, to take the gospel message to the people, but then also to plan on, will your use of those gifts get you to beyond this world? And you can't get that in a charter school. You cannot get that in an academically, advanced public school. Only in a Catholic school can we challenge our kids, can we nurture our kids' souls, can we value them in a way to say, you are precious. You are a precious child of God, and he's got a plan for you, and we're going to get through the successes and celebrate them, but we're going to understand that they were gifts. And we're going to get through the failures or the challenges, and we're going to celebrate successes and what you learned through that, because that was part of God's plan.
Well, Holly, I don't think anybody has to be with you for more than about 5 minutes to come to know your enthusiasm and your hope, your confidence for the future of Catholic schools. Catholic schools in many areas have fallen on hard times. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we want to be drawn into any kind of pessimistic attitude that you know, our Catholic institutions are just closing and they're going by the wayside. I'm going to talk a little bit about that when we return, but right now we're going to take our final break and come back and talk with Holly Goodwin.
The Colorado Catholic Herald's blog offers a chance for you to be heard on Catholic issues. Click on the red blog link at coloradocatholicherald.com and join the discussion. The Colorado Catholic Herald, bringing the Catholic world to you.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Holly Goodwin, Superintendent of Schools for the Diocese of Colorado Springs. And as I mentioned to our listeners earlier, Holly, you've been with us for about a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
But you hit the ground running, and in that year and a half, you have instituted a number of new initiatives, programs, et cetera, to really help make our Catholic schools better schools. Tell us about that.
Well, when you say hit the ground running, the bottom line is, you know, we have the vision, and we know the way what our schools are supposed to be like. We know the environment. We understand that. But anytime you have a vision, there's a lot of work to make that happen. So first of all, we started with the Catholic identity, and we looked at that and we said, okay, are we truly Catholic? And so we started saying, what can we do and what can we add in our diocese that ensures that we have truly Catholic schools? So the first thing we did was started the Aquinas Catechetical Institute, which is an institute for advanced training for those who serve and teach in our Catholic schools. Really, if you stop and think about it, the vision that I just mentioned, those who walk the halls with kids, those who are there to respond in a discipline situation, need to respond with the vision of nurturing the souls of kids, of forming them, and knowing what our faith teaches about situations. And so the Institute is a two-day, 10-hour advanced training for those who teach, and we have a catechetical certification program. And so it'll be an ongoing training every year. We provide release time. This last year, you know, you were willing to teach for us, and Bishop Hannafin and five area priests taught, and they were wonderful classes, great reviews. And the whole idea behind that is that we are nurturing those who serve and teach in our Catholic schools. And certainly we open that up to any catechist, because we are very grateful for all those who teach in the religious education programs. But we do it during the day in release time, so that limits the number of people who can come, but it's really good for our Catholic school teachers. So That's the first initiative that we started with. Second, we've taken a look at the religion curriculum. We have a group of teachers together. We're rewriting that religion curriculum. Hopefully that will be ready to come to be looked at by Father Larry Brennan or whoever's going to look at to say, are we correct with everything that we have? And then certainly for your approval, and we'll be able to implement that new curriculum. And it's a much more detailed than the curriculum that we were currently using. And so we're excited about that, and we're working really hard on that. The next is that we are implementing a program called Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, and it's a program that will supplement our daily religion classes. It's based on the Bible liturgy, and it's on Maria Montessori principles, and so the kids will not just...
Is this for really younger kids?
You know, it has a program for ages 3 to 12. My vision is that we would implement it at least in levels 1 and 2, which would be 3 to 9. And so the kids get a hands-on experience. So instead of just learning about Christ as the Good Shepherd and what it means to be part of the body of Christ, the kids would actually have sheep, and they would get to, you know, place the sheep in the fold, kind of thing.
Not live ones.
No, not live ones, little ones. And but it's a beautiful, wonderful program, and I've been in dioceses where it's used it, and it just changes an understanding of the Mass, of who we are called to be, and a lot of the beautiful traditions of our church that we kind of just take for granted and do because we've always learned them. And this really is, where does it come from biblically? And it's beautiful. So we had our first group of teachers trained last year, and we're getting ready to implement it. There's a special room called an atrium, and this is a holy ground and a holy place, and the kids come in and interact with a lot of the concrete sensorial things that will allow them to experience the faith. And so this summer we're taking another group to level 1 training, and that first group will then go to level 2 training. So we're excited about that. And then all of our schools now, we have engaged in strategic planning, and it's important the leadership in a school understands that a Catholic school is a faith community, but it is also a business, okay? So most of the principals are in charge of the instruction, being spiritual instructors, instructional leaders, I'm sorry, for their schools, spiritual leaders for their schools, but also run a small business, you know, worth $1 million, $2 million, depending on the size of the school. And so they all have strategic plans, but one of the important committees on the strategic plans is the Catholic Culture Committee. So now we have each individual school looking at the Catholic culture within their school and what makes it Catholic and what can make it more Catholic, what do we value, where do we put our time, etc. So all that has to do with the Catholic identity of the school. That second area, at quality academics and excellence in academics, we're looking at understanding formative assessments, which means taking tests not just at the end of the year, but throughout the year to say, where are the kids and how are they performing and how can I as a teacher change my instruction to meet the needs of the kids? So we're going to start doing formative assessments for the kids. We continue to implement core knowledge, and we are going to align those with the Common Core standards, which are out nationally. So we're in line academically, but we're not being tied to or led by any state tests, but we know what we need to teach at each of the levels. And core knowledge curriculum allows us to integrate our faith beautifully. The whole idea behind core knowledge is that you integrate. So you don't teach a subject in isolation, but you are very aware of what's going on. You do a lot of curriculum mapping, and you understand that, like, if you're studying a certain thing, say in social studies, then you're also relating your art to it, your religion history at that time, your music, etc. So it's wonderful, and we're learning more and we're getting better at it.
Are the teachers excited about that?
They are excited about it, and we're providing in-service not only for core knowledge, but we're also providing in-service for how to instruct, differentiated instruction, so that we can serve all kids and meet the needs of all kids. So providing the updating teacher training is important, so that's another area that we're covering. We've also started Parent University, and Parent University, in a Catholic school, we believe that parents are the primary educator of their children. And what does that mean? That means that when they say yes to God, we will take these children, your children, as a gift. We will do everything possible to form them and form them in faith and get them back to you. And that's a huge role. Having been a parent and having been an educator, we really need to work together. And so Parent University helps them in that role. We ask the parents to give us topics that they'd like. You know, sometimes it's just parenting things. Sometimes it's faith formation. Our very first one that we had in all our schools had to deal with what are the documents teach about Catholic schools? What does it mean to be? What's the role of a primary educator? Faith formation and Catholic schools and how those two work together with the family. And so the next topics I think that we're going to talk about are developmentally appropriate activities within the family. First, the importance of faith development within the family, because we've kind of in our culture turn that over to everybody else. You know, we drop our kids off, but all the research is saying that family and the time spent with family talking about faith traditions is absolutely key and critical. So just making parents aware of the research, giving them some ideas and stuff like that, that'll be some of the topics of our upcoming ones. We've worked a little bit with the community, and we're working on a program called Fill the Seats, and that's reaching out to the Hispanic community to see if we can bring more students into our Catholic schools. Currently, we have about 17% of our population are Hispanic, but Fill the Seats is a program in conjunction with Parent Challenge, and it would be raising money within the community to target and provide scholarships for students who otherwise would not be able to afford Catholic schools, and then working with parents to support the vision and understanding why we have Catholic schools. So, and that especially would target the Hispanic population so that we could grow that group. Then we've started some diocesan initiatives. I'm going to work with some, again, God has blessed me, as he always does. Like, sometimes at night I like put my head down, okay, God, where are we going to get the money to, da, 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 da. But I was at a dinner for RGG and
Returning God's Gifts.
And I met a parishioner, and you know, we need to look for outside resources financial resources and just all kinds of resources. And I was talking to somebody about Catholic schools, my favorite topic, and she said, you know, I used to work in public education. I used to work for the State Department, and I used to write grants. And I said, I have been praying for someone to work with me to help me write grants. I found a parent. A parent actually came forward in Wichita, and together we were, gosh, we probably got, well, it was close to a half a million by the time I left, and she called me not too long ago and said that she'd reached a million in getting funding and grants for schools. So hopefully that'll be started, and we'll get ready to support some of the stuff the teachers and the principals have identified needs in their school and stuff like that. So I would say, and then probably one of the biggest things that we have done is that all our schools now have a strategic plan. And that was a year-long process to train our school advisory councils. And the plans that they have address the Catholic culture, the academics, the marketing, the development, the finances, and the facilities of each of the schools. So it's no longer just left on the shoulders of the pastor and the principals, but we are looking at a way to engage. Each one of those are a subcommittee that engage parishioners and parents in the school, and they've written goals and tasks, and they're calendared, and I'm very hopeful, and we're seeing a lot of really good results already from that. So the future is bright.
Holly, you are on fire for Catholic schools, and I know in the short time that you've been here, you're setting that fire also under our clergy, parents of school-age children, and our Catholic people as a whole. And I appreciate that. You know, in a time when, especially in large urban areas, so many schools are closing. We read recently about how our friend Archbishop Chaput, now in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, announced that 45 elementary schools, now that's a huge archdiocese, but still, to have to say that we're shuttering 45 elementary schools is not good news. And you're someone who says, no, we're not going to close schools. We're going to build schools.
We're going to build new schools. We're right. going to strengthen the ones we have, and we're going to build new schools. Because if our mission is the souls of our kids and passing the faith, we can't say what we have is enough. And so we can't stop until a Catholic education is available, affordable, and accessible to any Catholic parent who chooses that. But it will take every Catholic parent. And I would say that's one of the things that excites me. This is not a time to, I mean, it's a time of sadness if you live in Philadelphia, because there are a lot of schools that are closing and you know, traditions, et cetera. But it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us as Catholics to step up, to be good stewards, and to say, we will face this challenge united. We will take seriously our responsibility to pass the faith to the next generation. Those who came before us did it for us. Okay? And at the end of time, when we're trying to get into heavens, God's going to say, did you do everything possible with the gifts I gave you to build my church?
If all of our Catholic people become good stewards, we'll never have to close a school. We could build as many schools as we need.
Right. 39 Catholic schools in Wichita, Kansas, available to the Catholics. It's the same number of Catholics that we have here, free of tuition, because people were willing to say thank you for the gift and give back joyfully. And we can do that. We can do that here.
Holly, we're going to have to get together again, because there are more questions I want to ask, and I think more things you want to say, but our time for today is up. Let's close by offering a brief prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for entrusting to us the formation, the growth of children in our midst. Continue to guide us, continue to guide educators, and to bless and inspire parents so that they may be truly the first and best educators of their children, and be moved to cooperate in every way with our Catholic schools so that we can give back to God well-formed, active, holy Catholic people. And I'm going to ask God now to bless all of our listeners, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Bishop Sheridan Presents on the Catholic Radio Network. Join us each week as Bishop Michael Sheridan of the Diocese of Colorado Springs discusses topics relevant to your life and your faith.
Bishop Sheridan Presents is a production of the Catholic Radio Network and the Diocese of Colorado Springs. If there is a topic that you'd like to hear covered by Bishop Sheridan Presents, please call the Catholic Radio Network at 970-669-8000. Thanks again for listening to Bishop Sheridan Presents, brought to you by the Colorado Catholic Herald, the official newspaper of the Diocese of Colorado Springs.